You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferrisburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sean. Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. Hope you're having a good day thus far. I know I have. You know what? It is such a privilege to bring the Word of God to you this morning. If you have a Bible with you, find Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be in verses 1 through 4. And you'll see a copy of the sermon notes sitting on the seats around you. If you do not have one as of yet, feel free to look on a seat in front of you or open space. There's a few available. I made those for you so you can take that home and meditate on it, think about it a little bit on your own time. So the title of my sermon today is Pass It On. Pass It On. And we all are children of somebody. We have parents. We have parents and grandparents who have gone before us. We may have children and grandchildren below us. We are in this chain that makes up our family. And what our grandparents and parents have learned and earned, their life lessons, the various things that they pass on to us, those intangible things, as well as their assets and those tangible items, you know, that they include in their will, those things are passed on from one generation to the next, or at least that's the plan, right? The goal is to, over time, see our families get stronger, smarter, better, more well off. Okay, that's the goal, at least. But sometimes conflict arises. As in all close relationship, conflict naturally occurs. And between parents and children, conflict is going to occur. It's not a matter of if, but when. And so the real question becomes, when conflict occurs, how do we effectively resolve it? And if we want to be proactive about it, how do we minimize that conflict in the future? And so that's what we want to look at today. All right. I was talking with a friend this week about this, just kind of sharing what my sermon was about. And he was telling me that he had a conflict with one of his daughters when she was in high school. And she would get mad and stomp into her bedroom and slam the door. And it was, frankly, driving him crazy. He told, listen, you got to stop slamming that door. If you slam it again, I'm taking it off its hinges. Well, a little bit of time passed, and sure enough, she got angry, and she went in, slammed her door again. She went off to school or work or someplace. She comes home. Guess what happened? The door was gone. And needless to say, it didn't take too long before she stopped slamming her door, okay? You and I, we probably all have humorous or maybe not so humorous stories about conflicts with either our parents or our children, right? Conflict does occur. And so how do we, if we want to pass it on, if we want to pass on the things that we have learned and earned, how do we effectively resolve that conflict and minimize it in the future? That's what we want to look at today. Paul gives both children and parents a few things to think about. But before we get into the scriptures, I want to ask another question. I mean, what's really at stake here? What's at stake if we allow conflict to fester to the point of, let's just take it to the extreme, where parents and children aren't even interacting or talking with one another anymore? Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you have that experience, unfortunately, right now for yourself, where the conflict is just so bad that you've basically cut off all communications. You're not speaking. You're not interacting. If you do get together, it's quite awkward. Okay, there's when we have this breach in our family chains, those things that we've learned and earned fail to get passed on. And we've seen some families that get in that situation, and it's really, really sad. And so if we don't learn from Paul's words how to minimize and resolve the conflict that's just, it's just going to happen, right? It's going to happen. We are going to fail to pass on those things we've learned and earned. So let's get into Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. turn there or open it up on your phone, however you look at the scriptures. Stand up out of respect for God's word today. I like to do that. Let's read these four scriptures together. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will live long, have a long life on the earth." Verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." You may be seated. Thank you, guys. So Paul starts out talking to children. Okay, what can children do? What can we as children do to minimize and resolve the conflict that naturally occurs between us and our parents? He starts out, first thing, he says, "Children, obey your parents." Now that word obey is a word picture that really means respond. Okay? It really means respond. It's a word picture that describes a parent who comes and knocks on their child's door, and the child on the other side pauses what they're doing, gets up, goes, and sees what they want. Okay? It's this idea of responsiveness. And so first and foremost, as children, we can resolve and minimize the conflict that occurs between us and our parents when we respond to them. Now, I don't know about you, but as a child, if I wanted to start a conflict with my dad, the only thing I needed to do was ignore him. How many of you dads can testify to that? As a dad, there is nothing that aggravates me more than when my children ignore me. It infuriates me. The other day, one of my children, who shall remain nameless, was watching TV. And I come in, and I'm like, very gentle. I'm like, hey, I'm looking them. They're looking me in the eyes. I have eye contact. "Turn the TV off, please. It's time to eat dinner." They went, just like that. I about lost my mind. Okay, how many of you parents can testify to this experience? I got closer. I looked him in the eyes, and I said, "Let me clarify this, because your life may depend on it. Turn the television off and get to the table." Have you ever noticed that when you get kind of terse with your kids, you're like, all your T's come out very, everything's flying around. You're enunciating every single word, because if you don't, you may strangle them, right? So if we want, as children, to resolve and minimize conflict, Paul says, first and foremost, respond. Be responsive. The second thing he says, look to the next verse. He says, honor. Honor your father and mother. Now that word honor is best translated as respect. It's best translated as respect. Now, there are two types of respect, okay? There's positional respect and there's personal respect. And I like to talk about these two types of respect because I know, and in fact, I've had, when I have similar talks with people, they will say, "Well, Pastor Mike, you don't know my mom and dad." In fact, I had one lady come up to me and say, "Listen, Mike, everything you're saying is good, but my parents are, they're not really worthy of respect." I said, or she said, "When I was growing up, they were just terrible with their money. And there were times where we did not have food to eat, or we did not have a place to stay, and we were sleeping in our car and stuff. And now I just really struggle respecting them." And I said, "Listen, I get that. You may not respect your parents as people. Okay, but what Paul is saying here is that at the very least, there's this baseline level of positional respect that we must have for our parents because God ordained them in our lives in that role. Okay, that's really hard to do sometimes, but he is saying, read the rest of that verse. This is the first commandment, hearkening back to the Ten Commandments that Moses gave, with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, one translation says, you will live long and prosper, like Spock. I can't do that. Can anybody do that? Let me see. This is a spiritual gift. It's profound. I'm inspired by this. Can anybody over here? Oh, look, you got two hands. I cannot do that. But what Paul is saying, and really he's hearkening back to what God said when the Ten Commandments were given. He's saying, if you give your parents that baseline level of positional respect, whether they are worthy of it or not, God sees that, and he will honor you. He will prosper you. He will give you a long life, okay? And so this is the idea that Paul is speaking to. So if we want to minimize the conflict, if we want to resolve it when it occurs between us and our parents, he's saying, first of all, respond to your parents. Second of all, offer them that baseline level of positional respect. And the result is you will live long and prosper. These are Paul's words to us today. Okay? Now, let's talk about parents. Okay, go to verse 4. Paul says, fathers. Now, I got to pause here for a second, because I know that in Greek this word is translated as parents. So we're speaking to moms and dads. But when they translated this, they specifically wrote it as fathers. Okay? And I think that there's a reason for that. I think that as fathers, our hearts are naturally inclined more towards our work and less towards our home. Okay. In fact, going back to why Jesus said John the Baptist was sent ahead of Jesus, one of the main reasons John the Baptist was sent was to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. Did you ever read that verse? Did you ever think about that? What that says is that as fathers, our hearts are not naturally inclined towards our children. They're more inclined towards our other pursuits or ambitions or to our work especially. But Paul is saying specifically, fathers and broadly, parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. One translation says, do not exasperate your children. A modern day translation may be, don't bring them to a point where they want to pull their hair out. They're so frustrated. In Mike Jones' vernacular, I would say, don't make them so frustrated they want to punch themselves in the face, okay? Have you ever been that aggravated? Has anybody ever been so frustrated about something where you literally just want to punch yourself on the face, or you want to lay down on the ground and just like throw a tantrum, right? He's saying, parents, fathers, don't bring your children to a point of utter and complete frustration by the way you treat them. Now, you should be thinking, well, how would I do that? What is it that I do that exasperates my children? Well, like I said earlier, we're all children of somebody, so think back. When you were a child, what did your parents do that exasperated you? Have you ever been so exasperated with your parents that you wanted to punch yourself in the face? Maybe a few times, right? Maybe, right? Well, if we stay in context, let's go back to what he said children should do. He said, children, if you want to minimize and resolve conflict with your parents, respond to them. So when they come knocking on your door, get up and answer. But what if your parents never knock on your door? I think that's one way that we exasperate our children. I think that as parents, we are naturally uninterested and uninvolved in our children's lives. We're very involved in our own work and our own pursuits and our own stuff. And naturally, we are not terribly interested. We find them kind of annoying, in fact, maybe sometimes. We don't want to mess with them. And so if we're not knocking on their door, what are our children doing on the other side of that door? What are they thinking? I can tell you, they're probably thinking, what's wrong with me? Why are my parents not interested? What's going on? And anybody who's grown up or been on that side of the door, you know just how painful that is and how frustrating that can be. And so I think the first thing Paul's implying here is parents, when he says, do not provoke your children to anger, do not exasperate them, he's telling us, listen, if we want to minimize and resolve conflict, then take interest, get involved, start knocking on their door. The second thing, if we stay in context, going back to that thing, he says, hey, parent or children, respect your parents. Well, I told you there's two types of respect. There's positional, and then there's personal respect. I don't know about you, but as a man, as a dad, I would hope that my children would say, yeah, that Mike Jones, even if he wasn't my dad, he's a pretty cool guy. I would like to be around him. How many of you dads hope your children say that about you, that they would want to be around you even if they weren't your child? And so what I think Paul's implying here is that we as parents tend to exasperate, tend to frustrate our children when we're not living in a way that engenders personal respect. I would say when we're being hypocritical, when we're not setting an example, especially if we're knocking on their door, giving them advice about how to live, and they're looking at us going, you're not even doing what you're telling me to do, right? We exasperate our children when we aren't setting a good example. And so I think that that's the second thing implied here. Now, if we get to what Paul is saying, go to the next part of verse 4. He says, rather, okay, instead of exasperating, instead of frustrating them, you know, get involved in their lives, set an example. And he builds on that thought. He says, first of all, he said, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, that word discipline in the Greek, I believe, is best translated as cultivate. It is a word that refers to farming, okay? Now, if you can't tell, I'm not much of a farmer, okay? I'm not afraid of getting dirty. I love to work hard, but I don't know a ton about farming, except that it's a ton of work, right? Does anybody have a garden or had a garden? Even having a garden is a ton of work. Shoot, having flowers on your deck is a ton of work, right? If you don't take care of them, they're dying or dead. You're like, what? I didn't water you for a day? What are you talking about here, right? So I think what Paul is saying is that parenting or being a good parent, being a good dad, being a good mom, is a ton of work if we're going to properly cultivate our children's souls. If we're going to start knocking on their doors, if we're going to take interest and get involved in their lives, and we're going to say, hey, you know, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? What are you good at? I think most of what our job is as a parent is to just point out in our children's lives what they're good at. That's one thing I've picked up from my leadership training. Gallup, the Strengths Finders, they're very big about that, especially as it relates to parenting. To point out in your children what they do not see in themselves. Make it obvious. Hey, you're pretty good at swimming. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, I didn't think about it. Or you're pretty good at this. You're pretty good at that. You're going to do something with that? How can I help you with that? Cultivate their talents, their interests, and their dreams. When they say, you know, I really want to go do this, even if it don't necessarily make sense, if it's not sinful, maybe you help them do it, right? Even if it don't make sense. How many crazy things did you tell your parents you wanted to do? Probably a bunch, right? And so, because I have a story come to mind. I know I have a friend whose daughter said, you know, I want to go to Hawaii, and he about lost his mind, right? Thinking my daughter's going to be in Hawaii by himself. I was like, you know, I guess it's not sinful. What are you going to do? If you tell her not to go, she's going to go anyways. So you might as well help her make it happen and maintain the relationship, right? There's all sorts of different things that come up. Paul's saying, first of all, if you want to minimize and resolve that conflict, cultivate your children's souls. Next, look at the word instruction. He says, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So this word instruction is best translated curb their soul. Literally, if you look it up, it says to curb the soul. Now, the best way I can describe curbing the soul is in the same way that you teach a child to ride a bike. How many dads out there have taught their children to ride a bike? You taught them how to ride a bike? I have four kids. I've taught four kids how to ride a bike. This is how I do it. So their bike is really little, right? And they get on the bike, and you hold on the back seat, and you tell them to pedal. So they start pedaling, and you hold on. And eventually, you say, okay, I'm going to let you go. And you let go, and they're moving. And what do they do almost immediately? They just kind of like, it's as if they want to fall over. They just kind of like fall on their side, right? It's you're like, what are you doing? Just, it's so easy. And you get back up. The idea is this. When you let them go and they start to fall, you catch them, bring them back to balance. They fall the other way. You catch them. You bring them back to balance. And this is exactly what Paul is saying our job, if we want to minimize and resolve conflict with our kids, this is how we are to instruct them. When they're real little and completely dependent on us, okay, we're constantly bringing them back to balance. They're falling over. They're getting going off. We tell them to do something. They don't do it. We're bringing them back, constantly, always curbing their soul, giving them this cautionary advice. Okay, this is literally what it says when you look up this word, to curb the soul by offering cautionary advice. I can tell you what it's not. Okay, cautionary advice is not getting in our children's face, yelling at them, telling them how dumb they are, how disappointed we are in them, how much of a loser they are. I can't believe you didn't get it right. I can't believe you can't ride a bike in the first 5 minutes, right? We would look at that as humorous. But I can tell you, for anybody who's been on the other end of a parent who consistently is in your face, yelling at you, telling you how dumb you are, how disappointed they are, it takes a long time to get over that. It does. And you know that's true, because some of you have been there. That is not what Paul's talking about. This is not how God disciplines and instructs us. Do you see the end of that verse? Bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. That's not how the Lord treats us. The Lord is not in our face telling us how disappointed he is with us, how much of a loser we are, how dumb we are. He's not in our face that way. If we take what the Lord receives, what the Lord gives us as parents, as adults, that cautionary advice. I mean, seriously, think about your life. How many times have you just been absolutely dumb and sinned? And you wanted to sin. You wanted to stray off of the path that you knew God wanted you to be on. And you just said, nah. Was God in your face then? No. He's there, just like a parent teaching a child to ride a bike, offering this cautionary advice, that still, quiet, small voice coming to you, getting you back on track. And he's saying, take that and give it to your kids in the same way. That is how we instruct them. That is how we are to curb their soul. He says, if you do this, what is implied here, if you curb their soul, if you cultivate their soul, if you help them become the very best version of themselves, what you will do is you will minimize that conflict. You will resolve that conflict much more easily than if you were not doing those things. And as a result, you will pass on what you have learned and earned to your children more effectively. Okay, are you tracking with me today? Raise your hand if you're tracking with me. Okay, so here's a question for you. What if you're in a stalemate? Okay, because this is real life. I mean, there are people maybe listening right now where there's a conflict between a parent and a child, okay, whatever end you're on. And you're saying, okay, who goes first? Who's going to kickstart this virtuous relationship? All right, who's going to get this going? How do we break free from this conflict and the awkward holidays and start making things fun again, right? Who goes first? Can you take a guess? The parent does. I believe there's a precedent in Scripture given to us by the Lord himself. When we were sinners, when we hated God's guts, he still sent Jesus to die for us. He made the first move as the elder, as the person in authority. He was the first one. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans that when we were enemies with God, God still sent Jesus to die for us. He got that relationship started, and then we reciprocate. And I think the same is true for us. When parents come and try to break through that conflict to get things going again, it's the children's responsibility to respond and keep it going, okay? I know it sounds a lot easier than it is in real life. Believe me, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm just saying that if we want good relationships between ourselves and our children or our parents, then at some point, somebody's got to do something. And if they're both Christians, I would say it's the parents who should kickstart. If you're a child here and you're thinking, well, my mom and dad don't know the Lord, what do I do? I would pray about that. Maybe you kickstart it. Maybe you get it going and go from there. Okay? So how do you apply this sermon today? What can you do specifically? Okay? And I'm going to start with the parents because I just got done telling you, parents, you kickstart it. You get it going. All right? I think the first thing, and I didn't write this in the notes, so you might want to add this. This came to me during first service when I was, it really hit me strongly. The first thing we ought to do, you ought to do as a parent, is you ought to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for those bad dad moments, those bad mom moments. We all have them. In fact, one came to my mind, and it's funny now, but it wasn't funny in the moment. I remember when my oldest son was like, I don't know, two. He could kind of talk. He wasn't at that full talk. He was still in a onesie. Okay, well, it's bedtime, and I'm tired. I'm just getting him to bed. And, you know, he keeps calling me for help, and it's after the fifth time or something, I'm aggravated. I finally tell him, don't call me again. Seriously, go to bed, right? Have you had that moment? Don't speak my name anymore today, right? Well, we get up in the morning. Jamie goes in there to check on him, and, well, he was calling for me because I had shoved both of his legs down one onesie side. And so he's sleeping with both legs in the one side of the onesie, and he can't really talk and tell me, like, Dad, you put both of my legs in one side of this onesie. I can't sleep. And I just didn't catch it. Okay, that's a bad dad moment. That's a bad dad moment, all right? You have those too, okay? So the first thing is forgive yourself. Okay? The second thing is start knocking on your child's door and keep knocking all their lives. Even if they walk away, especially when they walk away, chase them down if you can. Keep knocking on your child's door. I know that some of us have, children that even walk away from the Lord. We've raised them up in the best we know how to serve the Lord, and they're not serving the Lord. Keep knocking on their door. Keep praying for them. There is hope. The Holy Spirit is going to chase them down and bring them back. Can you say amen? Keep knocking on their door. Take interest in your children. Ask them how they're doing. One thing, very practical thing that I have done is I use the reminders in my phone like crazy. And I have a section in my phone, children. And under one of them is, I think it's a weekly reminder to ask them, how can I help you? I just text my older children or my and say, how can I help you? What can I help you with today? And a lot of times it's nothing. No, I'm good, Dad. I'm good. Nothing's going on. Other times it's like, hey, can you put air in my tires? Hey, can you help me with this? Hey, you know, can you do this and that? And it's just a way to knock on their door. Hey, can I do anything for you? How can I help you today? So maybe you do something similar. Okay? So that's another thing. The last thing that I believe you can do as a parent is change your tone. Do you ever get in a place as a parent? This is where I'm at right now. This really speaks to me. Because one of my children, like, I love them dearly, but they have been driving me nuts. They're not responding very well. And so I find that one day bleeds into the next, that bleeds into the next. And so my default tone with this particular person is kind of hard, okay? It's like, I'm all fun until you don't respond, and then it's like hard. How many dads know what I'm saying? You're like, you get terse, and then pretty soon, everything you say to them is just terse. It's just hard tone, because it's like one day becomes into the next, and you're just frustrated. You know, I had a leader one time, a mentor one time. He said, when I was teaching, he said, Mike, you got to give them a fresh start every day. They're 15. They're going to do dumb stuff. And I think we got to remember who we're working with here. They're 7. They're dumb. They're going to ignore you once in a while. They're not going to do what you want them to do. They're going to start doing it, and then they're going to get distracted and go do something else. And they're 7. That's what 7-year-olds do. I know some 30-year-olds that are like that, right? So you got to remember who you're working with, and I believe you got to give them a fresh start every day. You got to kind of mentally reset your tone and start out, okay, I'm the fun dad again, until if they ignore you, then you got to bring out the harsh tone a little bit, or the hard tone, firm tone, I think is the best way to say it, the firm tone. But give them a fresh start, change your tone. Okay, so as children, what can we do as children? Even as adult children, what can we do to apply what we're learning right now? I think the first thing is forgive your parents. Okay? Forgive your parents. No one has perfect parents. Not even Jesus had perfect parents, right? I mean, Mary and Joseph weren't perfect. How many times did Jesus have to forgive them for stuff that they did? I mean, he was the Son of God. Can you think about how hard it would have been to raise him? It would have been like, he's perfect all the time. He's like, you tell him and he's like, no, actually, I'm right about that. You know, you're right, Jesus, you're right. Still, go to your room. I can't deal with this right now, you know? I think as best you can, forgive your parents, okay? When they start knocking on your door, when they change their tone, when they try to set a better example, when they put forth the effort to kickstart that good relationship, reciprocate it as much as you possibly can. Okay? The last thing I'll say as a point of application to parents, or excuse me, to children, is to mind your manners. Mind your manners. I believe that this is something that has been lost in our society in general, across the board. I think we have a ton of rudeness floating around, especially as it pertains to younger with their elders. Okay? We need a revolution as it pertains to manners, okay? I'm 45, and I still use my manners, okay, with people of all ages, but especially with my parents, with my grandparents, with people that are older than me. You know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, you stand up when they approach you. You shake their hands. You look them in the eye. You let them go first. You give up your seat. You do things that shows respect, that baseline positional respect for your elders. Do you know what I'm saying? There is a lack of that in our society right now. And so when I talk about, well, maybe as children you might not respect or want to be like your parents. In fact, you may as an adult be much more successful and much more well off than your parents are. And yet that does not give you a license to treat them rudely. There is a baseline position of respect that they are due simply because they gave birth to you, okay? And if you're still in their house, gosh, all the more you should use your manners. You live there for free. Pick up your clothes. Eat the food that they give you, right? How many of your parents, you put food on the table and your kids are like, you can eat outside. I don't care if you don't eat, you know? Mind your manners, especially if you're living in the house. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Okay, so let's wrap up. We're talking about how do we pass on what we've learned and earned from one generation to the next if we allow the conflict to get out of control. Crazy, then those things stop or they skip us, okay? Those life lessons, those assets, those tangible and intangible things that our parents and grandparents are trying to pass on to us and we're trying to pass on to our children and grandchildren, they get hindered if we let the conflict get out of control. And so Paul's saying, hey, minimize it, try to stop it in the first place, and then when it does happen, here's how you resolve it, okay? I think that we need to end thinking about something very specific. We need to think vertically now. We've talked very horizontally today, meaning between us and other people, whether it be our parents or children. But we need to pause and think vertically. First of all, if you are here or online and you're listening, and you might not even realize, but you have a heavenly Father who loves you very much. He has a plan for you. He made you. He has a plan for you. He has good things in store. In fact, one of the scriptures tells us that he has a future and a hope for you, for us. And if you have not expressed faith in his son or you don't even know what that's about, I would like you to track Pastor Sean or I down or Pastor Jamie. Let us share that story with you and introduce you to your Heavenly Father, because he gave his one and only son so that you and he could have a good, solid relationship. How many of you have made that, expressed that faith? You have a relationship with God today. I know most of us do. How many of you are so glad that God cultivates your soul as your Father? How many of you are so glad that your Heavenly Father is not in your face hollering at you every time you make a mistake? How many of you are glad? Raise a hand and testify to that. I am. God is lifting us up. He's trying to make us the very best version of ourselves. He's trying to keep us on track as much as we will let him. And with that, let's stand and pray. What he does for us, we do for our children, we do for our grandchildren. And so I'm praying that today, this is a lot of reminders, I really think. In fact, in talking to people after first service, many people came up and were like, Mike, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Those are good reminders. I need that. I think for me, and hopefully for you, maybe for all of us, this is a moment to like hit a reset button. And just as a parent, as a child, to go, okay, let's start over. Let's have a refresh. That's one thing I really love about the Lord and about how he created so much in nature. We have 7 days in a week, not like an infinite amount. We come back to Sunday, and it's like every Sunday we just get to push this reset button and try again Monday. And I want that's what today is. I think Father's Day, Mother's Day, Sundays in general, it's an opportunity for us to gather and just hit a reset button, whether it be on our relationship with God, with our parent, with our children, something inside. We just need a moment to go, what do I do differently next week? How do I get back on track? And so this morning, if that's you, just lift up a hand or two. I'm lifting my hands because today's a reset for me personally. And let's pray. Pray with me right now. Father God, we just lift our lives to you. As followers of Christ, as parents, as children, let today be a reset for us, God. Whatever conflict we have in our family, let it be resolved. Lord, that whatever tangle of hurt feelings and conversations we can't even remember anymore, God, untangle it. Get us back to a fresh start. Take the stress of all of that conflict away. I speak to that stress right now in Jesus' name. In the families represented in this room, I speak to that stress, that conflict, and I command it to be moved in Jesus' name. I command the rough spots in our relationships to be leveled in Jesus' name, to be made smooth right now in Jesus' name. Hurt feelings be gone in Jesus' name. Fresh start, come. Holy Spirit, begin to move right now in our families. Just receive that right now. As I speak over you in Jesus' name, begin to receive that fresh start. Let that forgiveness flow in your heart right now. Let it flow in Jesus' name. I speak fresh start for every family in this congregation. Freshness, reset right now in Jesus' name. Our families will be strong. Our families will be strong. Our families will be strong in Jesus' name. Our relationships will be healthy. Our relationships will move forward. We will have good relationships with our parents and grandparents and children and grandchildren. There will be love. There will be flow from one generation to the next. In Jesus' name, I declare it over this congregation this morning. It is done. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just give you praise for what you're going to do in our families today. We thank you, God, that you resolved the conflict that you had with us, that you came to us, that you knocked on our door. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross. As we worship and sing this morning, just open up your hearts to the Lord. Thank you for letting me share with you today.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the cross and that God sent his son, Jesus, to help us and to chase us. And Pastor Mike, I want to thank you for speaking the word. It was incredible. One of the things that stuck out to me is to keep knocking, to keep chasing. Because I think a lot of times, or a lot of us in this room actually, have people in our life, whether it's family members or people we want to come to know Jesus, that we just need to keep chasing and keep knocking at that door, because you never know when it's going to come open and that you're going to get that chance to speak Jesus into people's lives, and even for today, family members' lives. So keep chasing, keep doing it. And let's pray to close out the service. Jesus, we just thank you for everything you do in our lives. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Lord, that there is no separation between you and I, and really you and us. And God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in and through the Gateway Church. And God, I pray as we go today, God, that you'd go before us and you'd go with us and all around us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen, 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 amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Make sure you grab a root beer on the way out.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.